Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Brenzi, the pitch, the players, the hustlers, the podcasters, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. We've got a ton of stuff to break down. We've got a huge weekend of action coming up this weekend. College football, NFL football, Major League Baseball Championship Series is set to begin. The Los Angeles Dodgers punched their ticket to the National League Championship Series. World Series tickets are now on sale in every market that is still playing right now as well. Let's bring in a Dodger fan. We've got a Blue Jay fan in the house, Rob Vino, kicking it with us, the Ranger Redhead Cam Stewart with us. And Rob, let's start off with Rob because it's fitting. He is a Dodger fan, but he happens to be in Philadelphia. And the Los Angeles Dodgers eliminate the Philadelphia Phillies. And if you recall, Rob, I told you before the playoffs started that I feel like the Phillies always peak too early, right? I don't know if it's they peak too early. I also brought up something that nobody else really did, in that the National League East isn't very good. And that's another thing. Like, we can talk about the American League Central all we want, but the NL East is worse. I mean, the Washington Nationals are terrible. The Marlins are, you know, the Marlins. The Braves had a million injuries this year. So basically the Phillies competed with the New York Mets, who sucked for the last 2.5 months of the season. And I don't know if they lost, like, the, you know, the, whatever reason, you know, they lost crazily and it was close and this and that. But the Philadelphia Phillies are now 2-8 in their last 10 playoff games. Rob Vino in the house. Rob, numbers don't lie. Dodgers winning 4.
Yeah, and I think that the Phillies are so dependent offensively, Gabe, on long balls, home run balls. Same with the Yankees, to an extent the same with the Dodgers, that it comes down to, when you're facing really good pitching, it comes down to the ability to hit these good pitchers, and the Phillies really didn't do it. I mean, Schwarber got off in game 3. They hit 3 home runs, I think, in that one. But other than that, Dodger pitching absolutely silenced Philly bats. And once LA came back, Gabe, to win game 1, they were down 3-0 in the second inning or after 2. They came back and won that game on the Teoscar Hernandez home run. Kind of set the table for what was going to happen. I won't say that I felt totally confident last night, but they did get the break where a, first-time pitcher on the hill in that type of tense situation just froze, I think, and made a bad play, and L.A. capitalized.
No, you know what? It was the same thing last year against the Yankees. It's actually a fine line, right? Dodgers won in 6, but it's like, all right, they were losing the game when Freeman hit the grand slam. They were losing. They were losing, you know, they were down 5-0 or whatever in another one of the games. The series could have easily flipped in the other direction. But I think that the Dodgers dodging the bullet of the Philadelphia Phillies right now, now it gets scary. I think now the confidence with the Dodgers is basically, all right, we're not going to be beat. I think last year, remember Dave Roberts said when they were all doing their drunk podcast and drunk interviews for like a week after the World Series last year, he said, you know, we feared San Diego the most, and we felt that if we beat San Diego, that we were probably going to win the World Series. I kind of felt the same way about it last year, and I feel the same way about it this year. You know, I feared the Philadelphia Phillies. They're a dangerous team, but they seem to go flat in the playoffs. And like Rob said, they depend on the home run so much. And Cam, the Dodgers are so good, you have a better chance of beating the Dodgers in a 5-game series or a 3-game series. And, like, the Reds couldn't do it. Now the Phillies couldn't do it. Like I said, now in a 7-game series, you're giving them more of a chance. Like, the Dodgers' talent and edge and their depth shines even more so in a longer series. But the Toronto Blue Jays await right now. Obviously the winner of Seattle and Detroit. So there's still a lot of stuff that can happen. And I've got the World Series ticket prices here for people that considering going to the game, such as myself. It surprised me that the most expensive ticket right now out of the cities that are still alive, and the tickets are for sale right now. You get refunded if they don't make it. But the Seattle Mariners, Seattle, $1,900 a ticket. So the cheapest ticket to get into the stadium is $1,900 for the Seattle Mariners World Series. It's $1,700 for the Toronto Blue Jays. So if you want to see a Blue Jay game, it's going to cost you about $1,600, $1,700 to get in. The Los Angeles Dodgers, it's $1,200 right now, which surprises me that L.A. happens to be the cheapest market. But the L.A. Dodgers are just in a World Series, and there's a million, like the Dodgers have played in a million big games. The Mariners have never made it to a World Series before. So the level of you know, insanity to get into the stadium will be a little bit different. And if the Detroit Tigers make it, you can get in for $900 right now in Detroit. Cam, are you going to drop $1,700 to see the Blue Jays in a World Series?
No, Gabe, I don't think that's going to happen, especially betting on the Eagles. I'm a little bit broke. didn't go very well last night, except for Cam Scatable props. Thank you. I got smoked. It wasn't a very good night. No, I don't. Gabe, hopefully Vizine Vince will have an extra ticket. Sometime. I know he's in. I think he might have tickets for the finals, and maybe you'll take me as a guest and I'll just like give him $500, take him out to the keg for steak and do whatever, because I know he's a guy that's been to a lot of playoff games, already been to a couple, and hopefully if we can get
why
there.
Why would he do that? Well, why would he take you to a – why he's not going to buy you a $1,700 ticket?
No, I mean, you're right. He could probably sell it, but no, he's taken me to a playoff game before, but I'm hoping it's Jays and Dodgers. That'd be absolutely fantastic, but a lot of work that needs to be done. I'm scared of Seattle. I'm scared of Detroit starting to play a lot better too. Scooble, you know, he's a very dangerous pitcher. But the one thing you talked about, guys, I think the Jays can beat you in different ways. The home run ball, and they can nickel and dime you to death. Lots of doubles and singles.
I personally feel, Rob, that the Blue Jays will beat either the Mariners or the Tigers. Do you have a strong feel about the American League and who gets to the World Series?
Yeah, simply because if you match up offenses, Gabe, Toronto's the best of the three. And then can they match up pitching-wise? And it appears now they can. I mean, I think I was on last week with you guys, and we talked about, Gabe, you said it, how they would pitch the young guy at home rather than send him on the road.
Savage. Yeah,
and it was a great start,
right? The
plan
is to do the same thing again, Rob. The Blue Jays, you've got to pay attention to the Blue Jays. Like, they don't tell you.
Yeah.
They really don't. They're secretive about it. They're not, like, you know, anytime Schneider is asked about the rotation in the playoffs, he's been, we take it day by day. We'll let you know. We don't know. When they really do, right? And how you can tell is if you really pay attention and you follow it to their, to, like, their practice habits and their workout habits on a daily basis. And as Rob just stated, we talked about it last week, they figured, all right, if we're going to start the kid, let's not put him in a hostile environment on the road in game three. For the record, the Blue Jays would have, like, home field advantage for the most part here, right? They do. I mean, they had a better record than Seattle. They had a better record than Detroit. They have a better record than the Dodgers. So the Blue Jays, if they made it, you know, would be the same thing. And they're doing the same thing in this series, Rob. That's the plan again, to go with Gausman 1, Yesavage 2, Bieber 3, and Chris Bassett is going to be back now. Bassett had a bad back, but it appears as though that's the plan right now, that he's good to go. He's been warming up and sort of he's on pace, so to speak. So it would be Chris Bassett pitching in the game four. We can break it down to Rob on paper, this and that, all we want, right? It comes down to a play. It comes down to an error. You know, it really does. Baseball, it's hard to handicap. It really is. It's a lot like hockey. You can cap it all you want. Once the game starts, you know, anything can kind of happen. But I do feel like, Rob, the Jays are the best team alive right now in the American League.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. Like I say, Gabe, the only question with them is would they match up pitching-wise? They do with both of those teams. The Detroit side is kind of Tarik Skubal and then Hope a little bit. The bullpen's good. Seattle's got good starters. But again, you know, Seattle's a lot like the Yankees, Gabe. They're waiting for J-Rod or Cal Raleigh or somebody to hit a long ball. They don't necessarily manufacture runs, and the Jays absolutely battered Yankee pitching. So that edge offensively is huge for Toronto over either opponent.
The only thing is, we see it all the time, right? One series to another doesn't carry over. Right. That's the thing. Like the Blue Jays, Vladimir Guerrero has been super hot. He always is hot against the Yankees. Like Vlad could go cold. Right. That's the whole thing. Like that's what makes the Dodgers so difficult, that Ohtani just went 1-for-19 or 1-for-20 or whatever in the series, and they 1-4. Not a lot of teams have that luxury. If Cal Raleigh goes 0-for-20 and Julio Rodriguez goes 0-for-20, the Mariners are screwed, right? Like the Dodgers have just more room for error than other teams. But I will say, the longer the Blue Jays go on, eventually Bo Bichette would be back. But they're kind of winning without him anyways. But Bichette's not ready to return right now. I think they would need to make the World Series for him to return. All right, big Saturday in college football. Rob, you and I have been talking a lot about the Missouri Tigers. One of your kids goes there. One of your sons goes to Missouri. So you follow all programs, obviously, from your job. But you've got your eye on this program as well, a little bit more than other ones. So stakes are high. Remember, Cam, I'm big on Missouri over 6.5 wins this year. Nobody really listened or paid attention too much. I told them, hey, listen, at 6.5, they don't leave the state of Missouri until October the 18th. Well, it's October the 11th coming up here. They get Alabama. They get Auburn. Suddenly, A&M and Oklahoma's is on the schedule. These become really big games. So, Missouri, I have a bunch of big tests coming up, Rob, and I was thinking about it. You don't want to only go 2-2 in all these big games, but 10-2 could get them into the playoffs. Like, you're coming from the SEC, you go 10-2. Now it could come into tiebreakers, and depending on who they beat and all this type of stuff. So it gets real for Mizzou Saturday morning, Rob.
Yeah, it does, Gabe. And I think when you look at this game, and you know, I get the added advantage of, I do a spot in Columbia, Missouri, each and every Friday afternoon. So later on today, I can pick, you know, the brains of the guys that host the show. But for Mizzou, you get the situational edge of Alabama 2 weeks ago getting all geared up to play at Georgia, win the game. Last week, getting all geared up for revenge against Vanderbilt and Diego Pavia, win the game. Now on the road to Missouri, where Missouri, like you say, has been at home since the start of the season, they lie in wait. And I'll just reiterate what I think the biggest advantage for the Missouri Tigers is, that people don't really represent, you know, nationally media-wise, is the, in SEC, you have to have that rotational depth, quality rotational depth, offensive line, defensive line. And Eli Drinkwitz has built that. And for anybody, again, anybody who hasn't seen Ahmed Hardy run, I know he's drawing some comparisons now to Ashton Jeanty, which I don't think he's as fast as Jeanty, but the correlation is probably the contact balance after he gets hit. Missouri, and they got, we've said it before, they got the better of the two Penn State quarterbacks. Bo Prabhula has been fantastic, where thank goodness Drew Aller is the Penn State quarterback and not the Mizzou quarterback as far as my favoritism goes. So I think Missouri's in good shape. Numbers going down from 4-3. Bettors kind of see it that way. I think you'll get a big game out of Missouri tomorrow.
They asked Hardy this week, how would you describe your game to people that haven't seen you? And, what can you tell us about, like, your game? What kind of style? They're asking him, like, who do you like? What kind of running backs? What kind of style? And he goes, my style is to run you over. I like what he said. He goes, I don't really go around people, man. He goes, I don't really go around people. He goes, I just go through people. And so now they're playing Alabama. The thing is, caught a great point by Rob. It's very difficult. They had a big Georgia game. They followed up. Last year they beat Georgia, and then they lost the following week to Vanderbilt. So it was the exact same sequence this year. They beat Georgia. This year they didn't let it happen to Vanderbilt. But with that being stated, what's lost in kind of all of this is that they can't tackle still. They can't stop the run still. Right. It's just they didn't happen to get exposed in these games, but they still gave up 7.1 yards per rush, Rob, to Vanderbilt. Like Vanderbilt turned the ball over twice in a red zone. Right. Like you look at Missouri should be able to run the ball on Alabama. I think there's going to be points in this game. And as you mentioned, you throw in Bo Prabhula and his legs as well. It's going to be a challenge for Alabama's defense. But we got Ty Simpson and company on the other side. They're moving the ball. Got to like the over here, don't you, Rob? I do. I'm taking Missouri plus the points and the over.
Yeah, I'll put it this way. I wouldn't bet the under in that particular game. And I think to your point, Gabe, Alabama, you know, when Missouri first entered this league, the majority of their years spent in the SEC, they were a team that just didn't match up physically, to your point about Alabama being able to be run on. Now, since Kalen DeBoer took over, they become a little bit of a different team, not as physically intimidating on the defensive side. And Missouri certainly has become more intimidating offensive line-wise, defensive line-wise. So I totally agree. Pribula, you know, Pavia, to your point too, Diego Pavia fumbles early in that game with Vanderbilt looking to go up two scores, which really hurt the Vandy cause in that particular game. So I just think that, you know, I've been in that stadium when it's at its capacity, and it's pretty loud there too. So we'll see what Ty Simpson and company can do, but I think Missouri will come out on top. And if I had to play it, I'd play over.
Big game for Bo Pribula because
yeah,
he's looked really good. You know, they have a couple of wins. They played a couple of teams, but they haven't. This is the real test right now, right? If he does this against Alabama, then not talk about, wow, maybe, you know, maybe if Penn State had Bo Pribula right now instead of Drew Aller, they wouldn't be in the position that they're in. But Bo has looked really – the whole thing with Bo is, can he throw the football? The guy's leading the SEC, completing 72% of his passes so far. So we'll get to I'll give my picks. Cam will give his college picks, but Rob's got to get out of here in a couple of minutes, and we appreciate his time. So what are you looking at on Saturday, Rob? College football, what do you like?
You know, from totals perspective, Gabe, I'm going to stick. I mean, I've been cashing in on just a couple of staples here. One, Kansas State totals over. K-State this week has TCU. I'm a little surprised at the 56.5 here. Won't go into real detail because we are short on time, but I like Kansas State TCU over. Again, we cashed again with the Air Force over. I think we've described it a couple of times the past couple of Fridays about the Air Force offense. You know, when a military academy can complete passes the way Air Force can, and when you can't play defense the way Air Force can't, makes for a lot of points. I think the UNLV game, Dan Mullen has certainly shown UNLV can play offense, little defense. So I like that over as well. Hey, you know, the Utah game shot up. I wish that, you know, Sam Levitt was at full strength and the price was a little lower because I would like Utah a little bit more.
Oh, thanks for bringing that up, actually. So Sam Levitt has been ruled out of this football game. He's not going to play. So
we see it go to in excess of 8.5 right now. I still think Utah's the right side in that game. ASU hasn't shown an awful lot offensively, and they've actually been a little bit lucky to get through a couple of their games so far. One total that'll go under the radar, Gabe, but I think it could be the best bet I have this week, is the Stanford-SMU game over 55.5. SMU, I don't think people realize how bad this defense is. Frank Reich's offense has shown ability to at least get to mid-20s. If they do that here, the SMU offense will do the rest. So I thought that number was particularly low. Other stuff, I don't know. You know, I have an urge to lay the points with Penn State at home against Northwestern, simply because Northwestern is, you know, their offense is like a battle in futility. They just can't score, and maybe Penn State can do enough to get over a big number there. It'll depend on whether or not James Franklin can get this team off the mat or not. Otherwise, maybe, you know what? Last one I'll close with, Gabe, because we love totals. Over Indiana against Oregon. I think that could develop into a real shootout between those two quarterbacks and those two offenses. What Kurt Cignetti has done, I asked this question yesterday on another show. I've been around a long time. I don't remember a college head coach within the span of 18 games or so that Cignetti has been there, taking a team from conference doormat to conference absolute contender. I mean, that conference is Ohio State, Oregon, and right now Indiana, Michigan probably in the wings. But I don't know that I've seen a head coach do that in a Power 4 or Power 5 conference. I couldn't remember a single one.
What's impressive about it, and people criticize the non-conference schedule, but they back it up when they play in the Big Ten after. What's impressive about it is different quarterbacks right now as well, right? It wasn't a one-off. Like, they've gotten better. Mendoza's better than Curtis Rourke is even. This is a real test for them. You know, and everyone talks about Indiana's, and I agree with the over, but I just want to throw this out there. Everyone talks about, you know, the offense with the Hoosiers all the time, but Indiana ranks second in college football with 9.8 tackles for losses per game. Like, so they're that's unbelievable, right? So either sacks, tackle behind the line of scrimmage. So their defense is actually balling as well, but this is a tough spot. And the Ducks are actually 5-0 against the spread in their last five home games as a favorite. Rob, we'll get you out of here. NFL football, any totals or sides catch your eye?
You know, I wish Tampa Bay was healthy and San Francisco was healthy. I would have played over there, but I can't. I think that the over in that Kansas City-Detroit game has been hit and hit hard. But I'm a big proponent of this Kansas City offense the last couple of weeks as they get injured players back. And I think we've seen it 2 weeks in a row now. Their capability to score points, either a KC team total or a full game total there, looks really good to me in that Sunday night affair. Aside from that, I think I would go ahead and play the Chargers against Miami, understanding that, you know, the two offensive tackles have hurt the LA Chargers for sure, the loss of Ault and the loss of Rashawn Slater early on. But against this Miami team, I don't think that'll be a problem for them. So I'd play that. And last one real quick, Gabe, as far as NFL is concerned, I would go to this Seattle-Jacksonville game. It's been hit really hard to the over, but I understand it totally. And 48 still cashes. So Seattle-Jacksonville over caught my eye as well.
And finally, in closing, we can't forget about the CFL. Man, it's getting interesting down the stretch right now. The playoff picture is, you know, still wide open as far as who's going to play who. We pretty much know who's going to be in the playoffs. The BC Lions have heated up down the stretch right now. They've got a bye week this week, but Saskatchewan looked to clinch first place. And they did say about they'd love to do it in front of their home fans. They're laying 10.5 on Friday night. Calgary are just in a free fall right now at Hamilton. Hamilton are concerned about the Montreal Alouettes suddenly. You got the Winnipeg Blue Bombers laying 3.5, and then you got Ottawa and Montreal. Canadian Thanksgiving Monday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. They shut Drew Brown down. They announced that Dustin Crum will be starting, but pretty much everybody's playing for something here, Rob. You know, the Rough Riders are trying to lock things up. The Stampeders are like trying to like avoid going on the road suddenly for a playoff game. Bombers are trying to like beat off the Lions and keep the Lions out of their way. Lions are trying to get home field advantage in the playoffs over these teams. And you get the Montreal Alouettes that are trying to get the division title still here, Rob. So interesting CFL week.
Yeah, the last two games of the weekend, Gabe, were the first two I bet. I took the Montreal team total over against Ottawa. It was 32.5, I believe, at the time. I like Winnipeg -3.5 in that game against Edmonton. I think it's important to note that Nick Arbuckle shut down as well as Drew Brown. But Saskatchewan is limping to the finish line, so I didn't have enough guts or courage to lay 10.5 in that particular game. As you mentioned, Calgary's limping to the finish line. And generally, in a Hamilton game, you want to be on the over. But I'm not sure. 56.5 might be a little bit too high the way the Calgary offense has played. I don't know if it's the receiving core, which is what I believe it is, or if it's the downgrade of play by Vernon Adams, that quarterback. I really don't want to blame him. I'd rather kind of assign the blame to the Calgary wide receiving core. But I don't know that game's going to make it over 56.5. So for me, it's going to be the Montreal team total over. It's the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, and maybe, believe it or not, maybe Hamilton under.
I just saw, he was on the BC Lions last year, the past year, so I've seen Vernon a lot live, but saw him last week with the Stampeders, and he's missing some zip on the football. Like, the ball is slow to get out at times. The receivers are open. He has a tendency of doing this in which he lights it up for the first half of the season and he hits a wall. Yeah, it's just, this isn't the first time we've seen him do this. Rob Vino, wagertalk.com, Rob Vino Sports. Rob, always a pleasure. Thanks for the time.
Guys, thanks for having me. Have a good weekend.
There's Rob Vino with us. So a big weekend of college football. Me and Cam will be on Saturday at noon, and the Alabama-Missouri game will be on at noon Eastern. There's a couple other big ones, but looking at this football game, and as I stated a couple of minutes ago, guys, Alabama, their offense is clicking right now, and it's dangerous to get in front of Alabama. Like, there's everything is starting to fall into place, right? The Ty Simpson Heisman hype is starting to pick up. Their offense, the players on the team are starting to get DeBoer's offense right now. Last year, People don't realize that. It's not that easy, like, for a college coach to take over a team and run an offense with players that he didn't recruit for that offense, right? Like, Rich Rod in West Virginia are going to have that problem right now. You have these teams in which, you know, the players weren't designed to run a certain offense, and Jalen Milroe wasn't. Jalen Milroe is a good quarterback. I like Jalen Milroe. Jalen Milroe is a great college quarterback. Kalen DeBoer, he didn't fit Kalen DeBoer's offense, right? What Kalen DeBoer wants to do did not fit Jalen Hurts' strengths. And college coaches are not big on changing their playbook for people, right? They want you to adapt to them. In the NFL, you know, you've got to sort of adapt, but they're just Alabama's offense is better right now with Ty Simpson because of just the fluidity of it. But Missouri are the real deal. We'll find out if Missouri are for real or not, Cam, because Missouri really, this is the biggest test for Missouri. And in fact, they're saying in Missouri that this is their biggest home game in 50 years.
It's huge. And you talked about it, and Rob talked about it. It's going to be essential that Mizzou can run the ball to set up the pass, Gabe. We're talking Hardy, 7.1 yards a carry. That's unprecedented. Like, you know what I mean? I understand it's against UMass, but they did play South Carolina. Big in Kansas too, big win for them. I expect points in this game just like you do. I like Ty Simpson. I like the way he's progressing with Alabama. The question is, are these physical games going to take their toll versus Georgia and Vanderbilt? Tough games. And now this is their, they got to go on the road again to a hostile environment. Should be a great game. I expect it to be real close, but I'm with you, Morency. I see points. I could see these teams getting in like high 30s.
Missouri, that they have one flaw. Number one, we're going to find out. Their number one flaw is they really haven't played anybody yet, so we're going to find out just how for real they are. And Bo Prabula, can he throw the football? Mm-hmm. Right? He's completing 72% of his passes so far this year. There's a lot of quick hit type of stuff, which I don't have a problem with. But now, you know, Alabama's defense isn't to be feared like it used to, but they still have playmakers on the defensive side of the football, and they're getting better as the year goes on. But like a lot of teams, like we saw with the Philadelphia Eagles, and it was a bad sign, like on the first drive of the game, they throw it to Wendell Robinson. Wendell Robinson, if was a fighter, like if Wendell Robinson was in a UFC, like what, he'd be fighting in the 155-pound weight class?
Yes, yes.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, he probably weighs like 167 pounds, well, whatever. Yeah. Like, he's a small kid. He's skinny. He's not like ripped and big. He's fast. He's sneaky. You know what I mean? He's like, you know, one of these, he finds the soft spot in the zone. First, you know, one of the first plays of the game, they throw it to him on the sideline, and one of the Eagle players just bounced right off of him. And Robinson just like waltzed down the sidelines after. And it was like, dear God, like the Eagles can't tackle. And as the game went on, you watch the Eagles like try to tackle, and the lack of effort was just like, it was incredible to see, like the Eagles, like watching the tape, like are going to like be like seriously humiliated. Like when they watch it together, it'll be like, holy crap, dude, like you totally quit on that play. And a lot of them did constantly, right? They, you know, half-assed tackling, Cam, you see it a lot in the NFL. Yep. Everybody does it for the most part. The Bills are really bad at it. Like, the Bills are bad tacklers as well, which really angers me because McDermott's supposedly this tough defensive guy. If you look at the Bills, they never smoke anybody. They kind of push you out of bounds, the Bills. Right? That's the new thing in the NFL. Push the guy out of bounds. Right? It's like they're NBA players. Like, they put their hand up like it's going to do something. It's like, oh, I'm going to put my arm up. Saquon Barkley's coming. I better stick my arm out. Like, oh, that's going to stop Saquon, right? And it's like they do it to look good. It's like, oh, I'm going to pretend like I'm not really trying to tackle him. And anybody that's actually watching me knows I'm not trying to tackle him. But I'm going to pretend that I'm trying to tackle him. So I'm going to pretend I'm going to sort of run kind of hard. But when I get there, I won't really do anything. That was the Eagles last night. That's Alabama. For the most, like, I shouldn't say Alabama's a little bit different in that Alabama just sort of miss you. Alabama are trying to tackle you, but like, yeah, they fly past you, they bounce off you, they don't wrap it up. If they do end up with a really nice tackle and a big play, they'll talk smack after and get a 15-yard penalty for it. Like, we've seen that a couple of times this year, right? Like, they're not as disciplined on defense. Under Saban, they were really tight-knit, and it was like, all right, stick to your assignment. It seems like now, since the Boers gotten there, the guys on the defensive side of the ball freelance more, and they kind of fly around everywhere. And so, yeah, this is going to be a super fun game, though, and a big-time test. And listen, Missouri are going to win 7 games. I got them over. They're 5-0. I got them over the 6.5. They're going to get to 7. But the schedule does get a lot harder right now from here on out. So if they literally could go 10-2, they could make the playoffs. They would make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So it sounds pretty crazy to say, all right, guys, we got 4 big games left against really tough teams, right? If we win 2 of them, we're probably in the playoffs, right? You don't want to think like that, but I'm just being realistic. So Missouri, you don't want to waste this because, as I stated, like, Texas A&M are really good. Suddenly the Oklahoma game becomes a problem. Oklahoma are suddenly dangerously good. Going to Auburn is never easy, even if Auburn aren't, you know, whatever. It's never easy going to Auburn. And Missouri would have to go to Auburn after this game, even if they won. So Missouri, like I said, this is where it gets real. I don't know if they're going to be able to pull it off. I think they can beat Alabama. I'm talking about, like, can they win 3 of these 4 games? That's asking a lot, but if they do, they're definitely in the playoffs, right? Look at – there's teams out of our way, though. Like, look at Texas. Everyone thought, oh, Texas and the SEC. Well, Texas are going to implode even more so.
Before that state bad losses, too, Gabe. That UCLA game, that has to be marked with a highlighter. 24.5-point favorites, unacceptable.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the SEC.
Yes.
Like, they're competing with sort of the SEC teams. Because you figure, can they get 4 teams in? Maybe. Right? They're going to get 3 in for sure. Can you get 4 teams in? Probably, right? Like 10-2 in the SEC could get you in this year. So that's what I'm saying with Missouri. Like, you got 4 big SEC games coming up here, 5 including the Auburn. Like, you got to find a way to go, like, get through this with a 10-2 record. And I cash my Missouri to make the playoff bet as well. Pittsburgh and Florida State's at noon Eastern. Florida State started off the season with the big win against Alabama, but reality has kicked in for them right now. They lost a close one to Miami, the 28-22 football game. Virginia went up and down the field on them, and they lost on the road, and now won the 46-38 game. What's your pick, Cam? Are you betting, if anything, on Pittsburgh and Florida State?
I am. I like the Pitt Panthers in this spot, getting 10.5, Gabe. I think they can play with Florida State. I know beating Boston College is nothing to write home about, but they murdered them in that game. Tight game against Louisville. Horrible loss to West Virginia. But I think Pitt's playing good football right now, and I think they can play with Florida State. It feels like too many points. I don't think Florida State can win by 11. I think Pittsburgh might lose the game, but in very, very tight fashion. I'll take the points with the Panthers.
Yeah, I agree with the Panther pick. I think the Panthers have the Panthers are good, right? The Pittsburgh Panthers are good. They have a good quarterback. They have their coach gets ripped at times for some of his decisions, but he's done a good job building the program, obviously. And Pittsburgh's defense, they're the number one ranked rush defense in the ACC. So they only give up 66 yards a game on the ground. Can they slow down? If you can slow down the FSU quarterback, Castellanos, you know, it really, it's a big head start for you to hang around in the football game. I think Florida State respond and Florida State find a way to win, but they win a close game. The ACC is better than people realize. And this will be a battle. Like, Florida State are really good, but they're not fully all the way back, or they're not fully, like, back yet. And Pittsburgh can – I agree. I think Pittsburgh can hang with them.
Question for you, Gabe. Yeah, it's an early game. This one's kind of interesting. How do you feel about UCLA at Michigan State after UCLA's shocking win against Penn State? Sparty's laying, like, 8 points in this game. That's a lot of points.
Yeah, this is the classic
– letdown.
Yeah, it's a classic – letdown spot for UCLA after that big time win, but I'm not so sure. I don't know. Right. Michigan State are strange. Like, their quarterback keeps getting into it with the media and with fans and stuff. I saw a clip of him the other day in which, but I guess people were saying, no, it's an older clip that he said this, but He basically said, I don't care about the fans here. He goes, I really don't. He goes, I'm done with caring about these people. And he goes, trust me, I don't care about our fans. Point blank, I don't. Next question. Like, and there was another couple of times he sort of dropped about, I kind of regret coming here, like type thing.
Like, he doesn't want to go to Michigan State. No, pick like, another school.
No, but he was in Oregon State with Johnson Smith, yes. And he went over, like, he never asked to go to Michigan State, right? So he kind of went with the coach there, and there's been a real love-hate relationship with the kid. And he doesn't win enough games for him to sort of talk the way that he does to them all the time.
Yeah.
But at the other side of the equation is they're not really supposed to be good. So I don't really know what, like, people expect from them. Right. I think, you know, they're going in the right direction. They're getting better. For me, this game, everybody's going to hammer Michigan State. And if you guys remember last week, I was all over Michigan State, and I don't like doing it. It pains me to do it. But I said, yeah, Nebraska shouldn't be that big of favorites against Michigan State, and they were getting 12.5 points. Well, the odds makers were kind of right. I mean,
yeah, was it 12?
Nebraska ended up winning by 11.
11, that's right.
Yeah, Michigan State were in the game. Michigan State even had the lead earlier, but, like, they did end up losing it. The week before, they hung around with USC on the road. So they've actually, if you look at their home games this year, they beat Western Michigan 23-6. They beat Boston College 42-40. They beat Youngstown State 41-24. And then they lost their last two road games. So now they're going back home. I'm not ready to write off UCLA here. I think that Michigan State are a little bit overpriced because people are buying into the UCLA just beat Penn State. They're gonna lose this week, and they have to travel to the East Coast. But should be noted, guys, and I was on this game, and I remember I said a couple of weeks ago, all right, nobody's going to want to do this, but I'm taking UCLA at Northwestern. And they were getting 6.5 points only at Northwestern in their first game after they fired Deshaun Foster. They lost by 3. They lost 17-14. Right now they beat Penn State. I thought that UCLA were going to be good coming into this year. Maybe they are good, right? And they just, you know what I mean? They are good. They have good players. You can't not be good and beat Penn State. Like, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
You can't, like, it wasn't like a fluke win. They beat Penn State down. Maybe, you know, Foster wasn't a great head coach. He'd never been a head coach before. There's a lot of sort of maybes with UCLA, but I don't think UCLA have quit on their season. These kids are pretty resilient. Like, they were resilient last year. You saw they played hard after they fired the coach. They went and played hard in Chicago at Northwestern, lost by 3. You figure, oh, they're going to get murdered by Penn State now. Nope. They go back home. They beat Penn State. They put 42 up on the board on them. Now people are like, oh, it's a big letdown. They're going to get blown out by Michigan State. I'm not so sure, Cam. I think, number one, UCLA are pretty good. They've shown that they can travel already. And number two, I just don't know if Michigan State should be favored by 8 points against anybody like this. Like, Michigan State are going to probably win, but I think it'll be a battle, actually. I'm going to take UCLA in that game. Ohio State and Illinois is another early game, Cam. That's the other big one.
I want to take Illinois, Gabe, but I think it's too many points. It's been bet down to 14. Remember earlier when we did the show and we talked about this game, it was 15.5. Interesting. I still think Illinois could cover in this game, but I worry about Ohio State kind of a can of whoop ass on these guys. But right now I lean Illini.
Yeah, you know what? I'm just done, Cam. Betting against Ohio State, unless they play Michigan.
Exactly. No, I like, it looks like generous points, but Gabe, would it surprise you if they like won by 27, 28? Just
no.
Like, yeah, no, that's the whole thing. Like, I want to take the points with Illinois. It's excessive points, but Ohio State's at home. They're a better team. They could blow them out. It's a tough game.
I think what Ohio State is, they're giving up less than 7 points a game. They give up 6.3 points a game only. Nobody has cracked double digits on them.
Unreal.
And if you think about it, it's like, all right, well, who they played? It's like, well, man, nobody has scored more. Like, no one scored double digits on them. They've given 10 points, the most points they've given up in a game. And they play Texas and Washington. So it's like, you play, you can't say, well, Texas this and all, oh, they're not as good as Washington, blah, blah. Dude, like, that's not normal. Like, that they played the Texas Longhorns, the Washington Huskies, and a bunch of other teams, and they're only giving up 6.3 points per game. Like, that's, like, scary good.
Yep.
And then you get on the other side, Illinois can't stop anybody. Everybody thought Illinois was some sort of playoff sleeper this year. And it's like they're – I warned people about it. I said that they're overrated. I said, yeah, they're good, but they're not – like, people are, like, getting overly excited about them. And – but it's bizarre because I didn't think they would be the way that they are. Illinois had become, like – they're like Rutgers, Illinois. Illinois can score, but they can't stop you, right? You figured in past years, like, man, Illinois' defense is pretty good, but their offense sucks. If they ever had a good offense, they'd be really good. Now it's like, yeah, their offense is really good, but they can't stop anybody. And Illinois find themselves in these track meets all the time. So if they can't stop anybody else, I don't see how they're going to stop Julian Sain and Jeremiah Smith and company. And then on the other side of it, nobody scores on Ohio State. So I just can't do it. Look, Cam, I bet Ohio State under 10.5 wins in the offseason, believing that, oh, you know what, that game in Seattle will be really hard for them. Oh, you know, and then they go home and, you know, oh, and then they go, they got to go to Illinois. Yeah. Now that it's here, I'm like, that was a bad bet. Like, they're just crushing.
They're just so damn good. That's the whole thing. Like, they're just, you said it, their defense is elite. Even when
they're not losing three games this year, I'm losing that bet. Like, they're not losing three games.
Hey, it happens, man. And that's the thing. You try to attack the blue bloods. Like Alabama, right? Like Alabama at the start of the year. Now,
well, I was right about Notre Dame. I said under 10.5 for Notre Dame, and Notre Dame lost their first two games. So I won that. I didn't think Oregon would be as good as they are this year, and they are. Right. So, like, same thing. I thought Oregon would lose two games, and I'm not sure they're going to lose one game the way that these guys are playing right now. So, Illinois and Ohio State, that's at noon. That's a good one. Rob Vino brought up SMU and Stanford. That's a noon game. Rob said he likes the over of that one. Iowa State and Colorado. It's an interesting football game, actually. Colorado have been pretty good, but they turn the ball over. Like, Colorado sort of hang around in these games, and they find a way to lose. People have forgotten about Iowa State, but Iowa State are still 5-1 right now. And you're talking about a game in which basically they only got to win by 2.5 points. It's a near pick 'em. I think the Cyclones are going to beat the Buffaloes. That game is at 3:30 Eastern. Michigan and USC is a night game at 7:30. Quick note about Michigan Wolverines. They're 1-10. Their last 11 games when traveling two time zones. Michigan have not traveled well. So just for the record, to warn people about that, 1-10 in the Mountain West or Pacific time zone, the last 11 games. The one game that Michigan won on the West Coast was the game that I was at, the Rose Bowl against Alabama. The college football semifinal is the only time in the last 11 games that Michigan have won on the West Coast or the Mountain West time zone. And now they get a USC Trojan team. Battle of strengths. Michigan's one weakness this year, their flaw, has been their pass defense. Teams have been able to throw on Michigan. They're giving up like 266 yards a game, which is very un-Michigan-like. You can't run on Michigan, though. So their defensive line, you can't run on us, but you can throw on us a bit. It should be noted our best defensive player, defensive back, Rod Moore, was out for the first four games. Rod Moore's back now. So I would expect the secondary to get better. We'll see what Wink Martindale comes up with as far as the scheme for USC. And then you get the USC Trojans flaw. People talk, all right, are they physical enough? And can their defense hold up? So you got Michigan had the sixth best rushing attack in the country. It's actually better than that, but like they rush for the sixth most yards in college football. USC will not be able to stop Justice Haynes. So Justice Haynes is going to rush for like 150 yards, two touchdowns. But USC could throw for like 300 yards. I would expect points in the Michigan and USC game. Florida and Texas A&M, that's another one at night. That's a really good one. Florida, like sort of like Penn State, Cam, coming out of the UCLA game, yep, coming off a massive win. Now they're going on the road against Texas A&M, who are a top five team right now. Texas A&M haven't lost. That's an interesting game on Saturday night as well.
Yeah, very interesting. And we forgot to remember the Red River Shootout, too. Oklahoma at Texas at 3:30 p.m., Gabe. This game, Oklahoma's laying one there. I like Boomer Sooner in this spot, I think. I think I'm going to bet against Texas. And haven't been impressed with the Longhorns. I like Oklahoma. I think they can get it done in a rivalry game like this and basically a pickup.
Yeah, Oklahoma have the second-best defense in college football after Ohio State. We talked about Ohio State only giving up 6 points a game. They give up 6.3 points a game. The Oklahoma Sooners are only giving up 8.3 points per game. A lot of talk about Mateer in this football game. I don't really think it matters. I think Oklahoma's defense is good enough to beat Texas either way. Obviously, a neutral field game in Dallas, but neutral field in the state of Texas, but you know, the state fair game, so to speak. But I don't really mind Hawkins. Mateer is better, but I think they can survive. They've alternated wins over the last 3 years. Texas coming off a 34-3 win last year. So yeah, I'm on Oklahoma in this game as well. Texas are just way overrated. All right, as far as the NFL is concerned, Cam, the Seattle Seahawks on the road at Jacksonville. Jacksonville coming off the big win against the Kansas City Chiefs, in which it really was the definition of stumbling and bumbling your way to a win. Like, I don't know how they won that game. I don't know how the Chiefs blew that game. Trevor Lawrence falls down twice, stumbles around, still scores the touchdown. And Jacksonville survive. And now they get Seattle, who have been a very good East Coast traveling team.
I love Seattle this week. I think it's a great spot for them. I know they're banged up in the secondary, so check the injury report, but I think guys are going to play. Gabe, that's the whole thing. Jacksonville, I was on them. Lucky win, but that's what happens in gambling. You get lucky wins, you get unlucky losses, but Seattle could take the road show. I don't think Smith and Jigba could be stopped by this team, and I think it's going to be a huge Kenneth Walker day. He's going to pound the Jaguars into oblivion, and Charbonnet is a great blocking back, giving Darnold time to shred these guys. Your boy Barner from Michigan's been great for touchdowns for Seattle. I'm telling you, Gabe, I think they go in there and beat the Jaguars. Seattle's one of my favorite plays this week.
We've talked about it a lot we've talked about it a lot with the Seattle Seahawks. For whatever reason, they're not a very good home team anymore, and they don't cover at home, but they're very good on the road. And we actually have the exact numbers with Mike McDonald. Overall, McDonald is 13-9 straight up as a head coach with the Seahawks. He's 9-12-1 against the spread. They're 6-3-1 against the spread on the road.
Amazing.
At home, they're 3-9 against the spread.
Brutal.
3-9. Think about that.
When we remember the Seahawks
The last 12 home games, the Seahawks have only covered three times.
Oh, they've lost to bad teams there at
home,
too.
They're 3-9. The only team with a worse home record over the last year and a half, the Titans.
Yeah, I was going to say Tennessee.
They're 0-10. The Titans are 0-10 against the spread. The Seahawks are 3-9. That's pretty wild, eh? Like the 12th
sure
man.
Is.
And then it's funny because people get mad that they sell their tickets. And it's like, well, they never win at home anymore, so it upsets people, so they're selling their tickets. But it's sort of a catch-22. It's like, I don't know, maybe if you didn't sell your tickets to the visiting fans, they would do better. But yeah. So it's sort of – but I'm just saying, like, I'm so tired of it, too. Like, people, when they hear – I heard people say it, I shut it down about the West Coast on an East Coast early start time.
Don't care.
That stuff means nothing. It really means nothing, guys. It used to mean something in the Lyle Alzado days. And, like in the old days, and teams would fly coach, and they didn't have charters, and players used to get drunk and, like, blah, blah on the plane or whatever, like – it ain't like that now. They fly on, like, they leave early. They have dietitians. I've been telling people the Michigan Wolverines actually have those hyperbolic chambers that people sit in. They have them waiting at the hotel for the players when they get off the plane on the road.
Amazing.
To rehydrate their bodies after the travel. And it's not optional, Cam. It's like, it's not optional. Like, you
like
get
Mr.
to the hotel,
Burns,
and they're like, you get in this thing.
I want to get in the machine.
It's like, get in the machine, right? And it's like, because it'll basically rehydrates your body and from your the flight. Like flying is not healthy for you. It like takes stuff out of you and dehydrate. Like they are so prepared now, Cam, for this stuff. It doesn't matter. And case in point, how about this? I've heard people, oh, Seattle, early start time. The Seahawks are 15-8. And Cam's been talking about this for years. He knows he's a Seahawks fan, that they're good on the East Coast. Seahawks are 15-8 against the spread. Their last 23 East Coast 1 o'clock game starts.
It's unbelievable, Gabe. Everything has flipped. I remember the Seahawks used to cover every number at home. Now they can't even get it done, but they're great early starts, East Coast. Remember these guys battling Detroit. When was Detroit the best team? Winning games outright, and then you go home, and then they have a lot of problems covering numbers. Didn't even get it. Had a lead against Tampa Bay. Couldn't cover there. No, it's crazy. Like the 12th man, it's just, it's unbelievable to me how much better they are on the road and focused. Like, and they punch teams early on the road too. I think Jacksonville could be in big trouble, Gabe. I'm not sure who you like in this game, but I'm all in on the Seahawks.
No, I like the Seahawks here. I'm riding the wave of them being a good road team. So we'll wrap it up. What do you got, Cam, for your NFL picks this week?
Yeah, I Vino and I have a couple of the same picks. We didn't even talk about this stuff. I do like the Chargers -4 in a bounce back situation against the Dolphins. Gabe, you know I like home dogs and dogs in general, but look what happened when I bet the Eagles last night. I got to stay in my lane. And but anyway, I like the Chargers. I think the offensive line woes are there, but I don't think, to Rob's point, I don't think the Dolphins will get that much pressure. I think Herbert understands, huge game for them. They got to light somebody up. Gabe, this one's not going to be a popular pick, but I like the Raiders to annihilate the Tennessee Titans. I like the Raiders by double digits in this spot. Seattle's one of my top plays this week against Jacksonville. Those are games I'm looking at, and I don't do this very often. I'm taking the Chiefs to beat the Lions.
Interesting. Yeah, it almost feels like a trap, the Lions.
Yeah.
The Raiders, I kind of like where you're going with that. The Raiders are due to sort of blow somebody out, and Tennessee could be a good fit for it. But on the other side of it, I don't know. Maybe Tennessee have turned a corner now, and suddenly maybe they start to cover a bunch of spreads, right? It's one of those, I'll probably end up betting it on Sunday, but it's not going to make the cut as, what catches my eye. What catches my eye now, and I've been better in college this year, guys. I've been very good. Like, college football, I've been really good. This year. NFL, I'm sort of whatever, man. I'm like everyone else. I win two in a row, I lose two. I'm all like, you know what I mean? I'm not killing the NFL. I do good in the in-game betting in the NFL, but so, it's not like, oh, yeah, I love the, I'm killing the NFL this year, guys. I've been doing better with my college picks. But I like what I like this week in the NFL, and Cam Seahawks is on my list here. And here's another one, Cam, that no one's going to want. And I took this team. I told people this last week, and nobody liked it. Oh, Spencer Rattler's never won before. I said they're going to beat the New York Giants, and they did. I don't know if they're going to beat the Patriots, but I say they cover the 3.5.
I agree with you. I got 3.5. That hook is huge on FanDuel, guys. I like the Saints, too.
We were talking about in college. Now you got the Patriots coming off a massive division upset win against the Buffalo Bills. Short week, Sunday Night Football. Now they go on the road to a Saint team that plays hard. Like, the Saints leave it all on the table. I don't know. Like, Kellen Moore, it's funny. They should be trying to tank, but, like, Kellen Moore's not. Like, it's basically, they figure, even if we try really hard, we're still only going to win 3 games this year. So, right? And there's no clear-cut number one pick in the draft anyways this year. So, there's no really, So, yeah, the Saints are a scrappy team. Give me the Saints plus the 3.5, the Seahawks plus the 1. Tampa Bay -3/ money line against the San Francisco 49ers. I do like the Detroit Lions. I'm a little bit weary of it, but no one's been a better bet ATS than the Detroit Lions over the years. Lions are a very good road team as well. You're getting 2 points. It's going to be a fun game. I don't think Kansas City are going to be able to keep up with them. All the talk about Ben Johnson not being there when they struggled in week one. The Detroit Lions have scored more points through 5 games than any team in NFL history before. And think about that. That's pretty wild considering they got shut down and only scored like 13 points or whatever in week one against the Green Bay Packers. So I'll have all my picks online. We're going to we'll put together some massive cards, obviously. Big weekend of sports coming up. Me and Cam will be live Saturday at noon Eastern time, breaking down all the big early college football games, including Missouri and Alabama. I'm on Missouri plus the points. I'm on the over in that football game. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours. We'll catch you on the television side of things. Later.